And so here goes another one of those 50-cent words that we're throwing out, ascension. And when we say ascension, all it means is that Jesus was taken up. There are some churches and religions today that celebrate what's known as Ascension Day. And Ascension Day is traditionally recognized 40 days after Easter on a Thursday. And what they are doing, they are recognizing the fact that Jesus did go into heaven.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of A Majestic Departure, Jesus is the High Priest Who Ascended into Heaven, from our series, Everybody Ought to Know Who Jesus Is. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of A Majestic Departure, Jesus is the High Priest Who Ascended into Heaven.
Continuing on in our series, Everybody Ought to Know Who Jesus Is. Today we want to talk about His majestic departure. This is known as the ascension of Jesus Christ. And now He has ascended into heaven, and He is our High Priest who is seated at the right hand of the Father. A little while ago, I came across a website, if you'll go ahead and put that next slide up there. And this website was entitled, JesusStillDead.com. And when you clicked on the address, the first words to greet you at the top of the page in bold letters are, "Yes, Jesus is still dead." And it further goes on to say, the lunacy of belief in Jesus, Bigfoot, UFOs, ghosts, the secret, religion, and God. So they talk about how ridiculous it is to believe in Jesus Christ and lump Him in there with beliefs in UFOs, Bigfoot, ghosts, and those type of things. But we want to come this morning and proclaim to you that Jesus is still alive. Amen. And not only is He still alive, but He is active and involved in the lives of His followers. And so this morning we want to look at what it means when we talk about the fact that Jesus ascended into heaven. I'm going to ask that you would turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And in Acts chapter 1, we see that Jesus empowers the disciples to go forth and to share the gospel. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, He says, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And so Jesus gives His parting words. And as He is speaking these words, to the amazement of the apostles, now you got to remember that they've been following Jesus since His resurrection for about 40 days now. And He's been appearing to them off and on. And so no doubt in their mind, you know how it is when you get used to something and you think that it's going to be around for a while. And so they had kind of got used to Jesus being there. And they were out at this pep rally that He was giving them. And all of a sudden, He utters these words. And it says, and while He spoke, as He was saying these things, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And all of a sudden, His feet were about 2 feet off the ground. "And you shall be witnesses." And then He rises up another 6 feet, both in Jerusalem. And He's still going up, Judea, Samaria, and in my sanctified imagination, I see Him hitting the clouds and say, "To the uttermost part of the world." And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up in the heaven? This same Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. This passage is what's known as the ascension. Through this series of messages, I've been throwing out some big words like theanthropic and hypostatic and the incarnation. And so here goes another one of those 50-cent words that we're throwing out, ascension. And when we say ascension, all it means is that Jesus was taken up. There are some churches and religions today that celebrate what's known as Ascension Day. And Ascension Day is traditionally recognized 40 days after Easter on a Thursday. And what they are doing, they are recognizing the fact that Jesus did go into heaven. And this passage is filled with terminology of being taken up. Let's just go back and look at verses 9 through 11 again and see how many times it talks about or makes reference to him going up. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, we got the first one. He was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were looking steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up in the heavens? This same Jesus who was taken up from you shall in like manner, so shall he come in the manner you have seen him go into heaven. So this passage is laden with terminology that speaks of ascension and how that Jesus went up into the sky. Now, before I move on and continue to talk about the ascension, I just want us to notice one thing that we can make a practical application from. And the practical application is this, in verse 11, when the angel said, why stand ye here gazing up? And as we think about present-day Christians, I broke it down to two groups. There are gazers and there are goers. And the problem with the church is today, we got too many gazers. As beautiful as it was, as uplifted as I was to worship with the male chorus this morning, and it was wonderful. The worship was wonderful. That's gazing, right? That's gazing. We're looking up. We're looking up. Wow, Jesus, you a bad boy. Man, you went up into the clouds. You do stuff that Superman can't even do. You just all of a sudden started going up. And we can get so overwhelmed with gazing. We can get so overwhelmed with singing. We can get so overwhelmed with even sitting listening to good teaching, right? We can become so overwhelmed. Look, I just want to gaze. I just want to look. We need a couple angels to come and whisper in our ears. Time to get busy. It's time to go. And so we asked ourselves this morning, are we gazers or are we goers? And hopefully we can fall into both categories, that we gaze a little bit, but after we catch a glimpse, then we go and we get busy. As the choir sang this morning, who is on the Lord's side? There are several biblical authors that spoke of the ascension. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 19, Mark lets us know that he is seated at the right hand of God. I don't know if you have those scriptures, you want to put them up there. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. In Luke chapter 24, verses 50 through 51, it says, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them, and it came to pass as he blessed them, he was parted and carried up into heaven. So Luke wrote about the ascension. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, we see that Paul talks about the ascension. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, it says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he what? He ascended, what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? And that he descended is the same also that ascended above the heavens, that he might fulfill all things. Peter, in 1 Peter 3:2, talks about the ascension of the Lord. It says, who is gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. And then the writer of Hebrews talks about the ascension in Hebrews 4 and verse 14. And I love this one right here. I love this one. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest, look at this, that did what? That passed through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. What did Jesus do? He passed through the heavens. So let's be clear about it. There's no misunderstanding that the Bible supports the ascension of Jesus Christ. So that is the declaration of the ascension. Let's look at the coronation. Turn to Psalm 24. Psalm 24. I'm going to do some teaching this morning. Hopefully bring out some preaching while we're teaching. Psalm 24, verse 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and even be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Now, let me give you four interpretations as to what this passage right here means. The first interpretation says that this is talking about a military king after he has won a battle, and as he comes back to the city, he stands at the entrance of the city, and we know that in biblical times there were walls around the city and there was a gate that let you in the city. And so as the military captain came back, he stood at the gate, and that the choir was saying, lift up your head, O ye gate, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the king would come in. So that's one interpretation of what Psalm 24 means. Another interpretation, we all know that at one point the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant, and they took the Ark of the Covenant and they tried to have it for their own purposes, and God began to send tumors. Whoever had the Ark, they started getting tumors, so they was trying to get rid of that thing. And so David, he was able to get the Ark, and that when David brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, they said that they sang this song. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and the Ark of the Covenant will come in. That's another view as to what it means. Another spiritual view says that you as a worshiper, that if you will, and I like this one, that if you will lift up or open up the gates of your heart, that the King of glory will come in and fill you and reside in you. And we get a little allusion to this in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, where it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens up, I will come in and sup with him. And so all those verses are fine, and all those interpretations are fine. But let me tell you what I think that it means. And I have evidence to support what I'm getting ready to say. I believe that this is a prophetic psalm. And we see many prophetic psalms. I believe that this psalm is prophesying Jesus' ascension back into glory. Now, why do I say that? Let me show you a couple things. First of all, the term is used in there in verse 7, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, everlasting doors. There's no everlasting doors here on this earth. The only everlasting doors are in the kingdom of the Lord. Secondly, notice what it says And who will come in? The King of Glory. So I don't think that the military victor was the King of Glory. I don't think that the Ark of Covenant is the King of the Glory. I believe that Jesus Christ is the King of Glory. And then it says, look, in verse 10, who is the King of Glory? The Lord of Hosts. He is the King of Glory. Who is the Lord of Hosts? Jesus Christ is the Lord of Hosts. That word host means the armies. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of Armies. Who is the Lord of Armies? Jesus Christ. So based on that, I believe that Psalm 24, verses 7 through 10, is talking about Jesus' ascension into heaven. So let's pick up the story, right? He's talking to the disciples. He's given them the Great Commission in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And all of a sudden, he's caught up through the clouds. And now, here he stands at the gates of heaven. Now, keep in mind that for eternity past, that the Father and the Son fellowshiped. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was face to face with God. Jesus and God were inseparable from the very beginning. Jesus steps out of eternity, enters into time, lives on this earth for 33 years, died, buried, rose again, victoriously over death, hell, and the grave, spends 40 extra days on this earth, ascends up into heaven, and stands at the gates of heaven. And the heavenly choir begins to sing, "Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in." Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of Hosts, he is the King of Glory. Now notice what it says here also. It says not only for the gates to be lifted up, but notice what it says. It says, lift up your what? Heads, O ye gates. What were the heads? Well, you have the gates and you have the top of the gates. The top of the gates were the heads. Now, the problem is that if you're coming in the gate and you have something that's big, then you can't get it through the gate. And so you either have to bend down to get through or you have to lift up the top. The scripture says that Jesus fills all eternity. And so when Jesus comes to the gate, he can't walk through the gate. He's not going to bow down because he's the King of Kings. And so they lift up the gates so that Jesus can come back in to heaven again. This is his coronation when he entered back into glory. The ascension of Jesus Christ. Now let's look at his exaltation. That's his coronation. All right? Let's look at his exaltation. Turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17 in verse 5. Jesus has a prayer. The God of all eternity has a prayer. He prays to the Father, and he says this, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Jesus said, "Lord, restore that glory that I had before I came to this earth." Jesus' prayer. Now, this is good too, because now this lets us know what? That if we can ever pray like Jesus prays. And what did Jesus pray? Jesus always prayed for the will of the Father. That was his prayer, is that he would know the will of the Father. And so I believe that whatever Jesus prayed was put on his heart by the Father. And so if we will line up with God, if we will connect with God, he will burden our hearts and direct us as to the things that we should pray for. And if we pray for the things that God tells us to pray for, then he will answer them every time. Jesus said, "Lord, give me the glory that I had with you." Now, in answer to this prayer, we turn to Philippians chapter 2. Because in that in Philippians 2, we see that the prayer of Jesus was answered. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the very form of God, that means that he was God or very God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. That means that he gave up this is what's known as the kenosis passage, another one of them big words, but it means that he emptied himself, that he emptied himself or divested himself and chose to submit his will to the Father's will. And he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Here goes the answer to the prayer. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so we see here that this is the answer to Christ's prayer in John 17. Father, glorify me with the same glory that I had before the world. And God, after his coronation, after he enters into the portals of glory, then we see that God exalts him. And we see two things about this. First of all, we see that it is an exalted destination. It says that he has highly exalted him. This phrase, highly exalted him, means that he has risen to the rank that's the highest of the high. That there can be nobody higher than he is. Now, if you think about it, at one point, he was the lowest of the lows. Right? Now, Jesus? Pastor Glaze, didn't you teach a couple of weeks ago that Jesus was a moral and righteous man? Yeah, I did. I did teach that. But watch this. As Christ died on the cross, he didn't, as some people would say, turn into sin. I'm not saying he turned into sin. But what did he do? He took your sins. He took your sins. He took my sins. He took the sins from people of eternity past. He took all the sins that people will ever commit. And when he died on the cross, he took everybody's sin and he felt the heartache. He felt the torment. He felt the agony of what it meant to die for your sins. And I believe at that point, he was at the lowest of lows because he was burdened down with the sins of everybody. He was weighted down with everybody's sin. And he was at the lowest point that he ever was. And therefore, God lifted him from the lowest of lows and took him to the highest of highs. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He has an exalted destination, but he also has an exclusive designation. What am I saying here? It says that he's been given a name that's above every name. Now, everybody won't agree with this, so I'm telling you right now, and you can take your study, and you come up with what you believe. But I believe that name.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of a majestic departure. Jesus is the high priest who ascended into heaven. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, A Majestic Departure, Jesus is the High Priest Who Ascended into Heaven, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A Majestic Departure, Jesus is the High Priest Who Ascended into Heaven. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request A Majestic Departure, Jesus is the High Priest Who Ascended into Heaven. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. 5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.